Hey, Claudio.
Hi, Vicky. Nice to meet you. How's it going? Nice to meet you.
It is so nice to meet you. It's going well. You had my rapt attention from beginning to end watching Turbulence.
Oh, really? That's great to hear. Thank you.
First thing I thought of, and because a lot of this film, some of the hazards and some of the events that transpire immediately made me think of the fabulous Tom Harper's film, The Aeronauts.
Oh, yes, of course. We always studied that. That was very much our blueprint in many ways. The bar was very high on that one.
Very high. And I love that movie. Imitation is sincerest form of flattery. So to actually see some of similar escapades and skill sets happening just tickled me to no end. I was...
That's great. Thank you very much.
I was delighted. It's not too often we see films about air balloons.
No, that's true. There are very few of them. Maybe for good reason, because it's really complicated.
So, Claudio, talk to me about this complication. And obviously, you were not flying in the Dolomites.
Well, that's only partly true, huh?
Then talk to me. Talk to me about this.
So, one of the most eye-popping things that I experienced in this is that maybe a month before we went to camera in London, I was flying with a helicopter company with a big camera rig, 360-degree cameras, high-res, through the Dolomites and charting the whole path of the balloon, flying past these mountain peaks and close to walls and stuff like that. And, I mean, I chose the Dolomites because I did my research, but then being there, flying over these mighty mountains was just an unbelievable experience. And that's why we, you know, acquired 360-degree high-res plates to then use to replace the blue screens with, against which we shot the entire movie. So, in a way, I did shoot parts of it in the Dolomite, just not with the actors.
Ooh, well, that accounts for the beauty that we're seeing and the realism, because it was real.
Oh, good, excellent. I'm glad you feel that way. We struggled, I will tell you. It was an uphill battle to make these things look, you know, believable and to hopefully have the audience take this leap of faith with us, because inevitably anything shot against blue screen comes with a certain degree of artificiality.
Yeah.
And we felt both, just from a technical standpoint, like the choice to shoot everything handheld was meant to counteract that, to shoot anamorphic lenses, which sort of destroyed the image a little bit to make it less clear. I think was a clear choice for us to make it to kind of distract from that. And but then also, I think if you think about the story, I think it's a bit of an allegorical tale of a relationship that is very much going through some turbulence.
Yes.
Proverbial turbulence. So anything that the journey that they're on is sort of mirroring what's going on between the characters, so that I think gave me some license to be maybe a bit more stylized in my approach visually.
Well,
but I'm happy that you felt like you were alongside with them.
I really did, and you've got an incredible cinematographer, number one. Jimmy Reynoso is fantastic. I mean, I've been loving his work for years.
Oh, you've looked at, did you see, do you remember his work from Bloodline?
I do.
Oh, my God. I mean, Jaime and I are long friends. He actually shot my very first movie in Mexico 25 years ago. We became very close friends from then, and we never got to working again for a long time, but then I remember he texted me when he shot Bloodline. He said, Claudio, I kind of did a quantum leap here. I think this is much better. And then I watched Bloodline. And, oh man, this is such beautiful work. And
yeah,
I'm thrilled to have had him shoot this movie. Yeah,
and I'm thrilled because typically Jaime, he does television. He does episodics. Bloodline, yeah. Kaminsky. He did a superb job on his episodes of Snowpiercer.
Exactly.
You know, but he also did Latin History for Morons, which was a feature
film.
Oh my
God, you're an expert on Jaime. I love this.
When I find filmmakers and cinematographers, production design, whose work just speaks to me, no matter what they do, I try and see and follow everything that they do.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. And he's worth following. He's exceptional. He's
yeah. his work.
It's wonderful, and such a funny man, too. I love him.
You know, and now we may never see him again since he's in the world of Taylor Sheridan and Tulsa King.
Yeah, maybe. No. I mean, he'll always come back to us. He will not forget us little people.
Us little people.
Yes.
Because in addition to getting your actual helicopter footage of the Dolomites and your 360s, you've got so much of this film is contained within the balloon basket. So you're very limited in how much room you have to navigate. You have accoutrement that must be in the basket. And then you have four people in the basket. And we have antics galore that should not be happening are happening in the basket. And Jaime only has so much room of where to put that camera, but to keep us interested and to vary the imagery. So I'm really curious about how the two of you develop the visual grammar of the film, which really is focused pretty much on the happenings in the basket. Because you don't have a lot of room to work. You have obstructions, and you have to keep us engaged visually.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a very, very keenly observed from you. I love you for doing this. You're doing such a great job in watching movies. That's fantastic. So what we did is, first of all, we realized that the limitations of the movie need to be turned into strength. It needs to be turned into the thing that makes us interested. Naturally, we watch movies because we're interested in characters, right? So this actually prevents me from being able to cut away from those characters. I'm stuck with the characters for 70 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So they better be interesting. They better be layered. They better offer up some surprises and so on and so forth. So, I always felt, well, the best thing is if I put Jaime in the basket with them. And that means that we're very much inside of it. We're inside the action. We're inside their perspective. We also are very careful about when to switch perspective, because the story is told from one point of view at the beginning and then gradually switches over to mm-hmm. like these surprises hopefully hit us. And then it was a very calculated decision of when to stay outside the circle of action within a scene and when to go inside the circle of action and whom to base it on. And having said that, we would often, you know, stage a scene, block it in the morning or the first thing up, and then sort of figure out the master that we would shoot, and then cut everybody loose, including Jaime. And nobody, make sure we can look every which way in the basket during a take, so that he has the freedom to, on a whim, you know, pan over to Jeremy and catch him doing something. So kind of working in a free flow, free associative flow, which I also encourage the actors to, you know, feel free to go off the page whenever the desire arose, to keep it free, to also counteract this artificiality of being on a sound stage against the blue screen, to not get stale with it, you know, and to keep it, you know, flowing.
It's just absolutely so stunning. And then to have your editor, to have Tamsin Jeffrey, who I think this is possibly the first feature Tamsin's done.
Yes.
I know, ton of shorts, but I love the editing because you build tension.
Yeah.
You keep us on our toes. You give us moments to just love and appreciate and inhale the beauty of what we're seeing from the top of the world. Of course, then you pull the rug out from under us or the basket out from under us and shit hits the fan. So your editing is so well paced and it capturing all of the different angles and the different perspectives.
Well, I will say Tamsin did a phenomenal job, and she has such a refined instrument and such a, you know, a great way of understanding character and understanding performance. And she's very, very patient with this process. And keep in mind, this is very much cutting two movies for one.
Yeah.
Because the background, if we've noticed that we would have, you know, cut together a certain scene, which is the blue screen footage for performance. And then once you cut in all the backgrounds also had to be consistent, you know, because they're always on a journey. So it's not like you have to kind of carefully orchestrate them to get near a mountain range and then bump against the whatever they need to bump against and gain altitude. So it was a big, big job to keep both the foreground and the background movie in sync with each other, but yeah, both had to be cut. And sometimes, oftentimes, we would find that cutting a scene with just the actors in the foreground, once you put in the background, felt completely different and needed to be redone. So it was a long process with lots of back and forth, but it was Tamsin who steered us through this storm very competently. And I love her for it.
Of course, then you've got visual effects added in here during the storm sequences. And that, I know what Tom Harper went through with their storm sequences and how they were creating that on the Aeronauts. So I can only imagine that yours was equally as challenging.
For a fraction of the budget, yeah.
And that is what's really amazing to me, is to see your quality measuring up. I mean, I would put both of them on a level scale.
Oh, thank you so much. That's a little crazy, but wonderful.
I would put both of them on a level scale, Claudio.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, I will say, I have to hand this to the stunt coordinator, Dan Stiles, and his team, and the riggers, and then really to Jeremy and Hera.
Yeah.
We shot for 3 days on that storm, and they were soaking wet with icy cold water. They had their wetsuits, but it took about 20 seconds. And we were pounding them with water and wind on that stage. And it took about 10 to 20 seconds, and they were shivering. And then in between takes, we had these, which was really a good call, we had these mobile saunas, which is just a sauna seat that you can disappear in up to your neck that immediately warms you up crazily. So that was the only way that they could sustain these 3 days of shoot. But for every take, they had to be wet. It had to be, you know, spritzed down again, completely wet. And it was both. They were really tough. I mean, talk about. Well, Hera is an Icelandic actress, so you can maybe expect some Viking blood in her.
Yeah.
But both of them were just taking it in stride and kind of enjoying it even. But I think Jeremy, after those 3 days, caught a massive cold. And I feel sorry for him, but I think it was worth it.
The way this looks, Claudio, I don't care if he got pneumonia, it was worth it.
Well, okay, you said that.
Let me just say. Now, I am curious about, did you actually have an air balloon there that you did inflate at some point? Or?
Oh, so partial. We had a rig that was built for a previous movie. The one with Daniel Craig, which I forget right now, I'm embarrassed. Anyways, it was a rig that they sort of built, that a balloon company, Cameron Balloons in Bristol, built, and that allows you to have, like, the bottom portion of the balloon, the skirt and the little bit of the balloon, hanging off a big crane and an actual basket. And a basket we had to build multiples of. And then so, but we never, because a hot air balloon, of course, we did go on a hot air balloon in research and in preparation.
Sure.
But a hot air balloon is very not controllable. You know, you can only kind of tell it to go up and down. And also that is a little bit of a difficult to control process. So it would have been completely prohibitive to shoot this in a controlled way on a hot air balloon, actual balloon. So we only had the half of it, and it was hanging off of a crane and replaced it in CG. And that's the thing where I go, like, well, this, you know, it came with so much artificiality, and I felt like, well, it can only be tolerable if this is sort of part of the allegorical tale of what's going on between these characters, that we maybe, you know, accept, you know, a good amount of visual effects and just take this leap of faith.
Well worth it, taking the leap of faith, Claudio.
Excellent.
Beautiful job. And lovely speaking to you. I hope we get to chat again in the future.
Yeah, please, absolutely, Debbie. This is lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.